Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Skinny Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm really excited for my guest today. I got Ms. Shavir Ross in the building. She does a little bit of everything in real estate in Baltimore. She wholesales, she fix and flips, she has rental properties, she does Airbnb, and she's also my soror. Shout out to the ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Shavir, how are you, dear?
Hey Jess, I'm awesome. Thanks for having me bright and early on a Sunday morning. Yes.
You know, the early bird gets the worm, and you're more of a night owl though. You're up all night doing stuff.
Right.
So anywho, thanks for joining the show. So let's jump right into it. How did you get interested in real estate?
So I don't remember what year it was. I know I was like in my early 20s, some 10-odd years ago. But it started out where, so I was dating a guy that was interested. He was going to buy a house for just a primary residence. And so we were watching a lot of HGTV shows.
Right.
And right after the first time homebuyer shows would come on, there would be the like rehabbing shows, and I had never heard of people like buying houses, fixing them up and selling them before. So like millions of people who watch those shows, I was intrigued. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, I started going to first time home buyer shows, and then I started meeting investors, and they started talking about real estate investing, and I'm like, what is this? And so I eventually met enough of them that I decided to take the $20,000 I had at the time, and instead of buying a house, I decided I'm gonna shoot my shot and shoot for the moon. And I ended up partnering my first business partner. We partnered and did our first rehab together. Mm-hmm. Did about three. And that's how I got my feet wet.
Nice. So where were those first rehab properties at?
So the first one was in Waldorf. First mm-hmm. of all, we didn't even really know anything about the city of Waldorf. we just got the deal. Like, we did so many things wrong on that first property. Like, I remember there was one point we fired three contractors in one day, just sitting on the step, just thinking like, damn, who's gonna finish this? Like, that was interesting one. But Waldorf, the other one was Temple Hills, and then the third one was Oxon Hill, right when MGM Grand was going up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those were good markets. So wait, but back up a little bit. So y'all just started doing a rehab. You didn't have any formal education, no training, no mentor, nothing?
Nope. So my partner, he had experience wholesaling. I had no experience. I literally had a dollar and a dream. And in fact, we didn't even know each other probably 2 months before we even did the deal together. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we had no experience. We just went at it and just like did what we just kind of like focused on one foot in front of the other. It didn't always work out, but but we did come out profitable on that one, the first one.
Okay, that's good. I mean, hey, however you get there, as long as you get there.
I would say that was the epitome of ignorance on fire. And there was another one where it didn't work out well for us. There was another one where we lost. That was the Oxon Hill one. We lost probably between the two of us about $30,000 on that one.
Why? What happened?
So, first of all, I think what happened is we didn't stick to our numbers. Mm-hmm. I think me just being, I mean, by then it was probably, that was our third one. But by then, I think we were both like, well, this is a great neighborhood. I could see the vision. Let's just do it. We'll like find a way to save money. Mm-hmm. And so as a lot of people kind of get into this field, like you're anxious to start. And some people will, especially when you're getting impatient, waiting for a good deal to come by. I know some people try to fudge the numbers. We were those people. So although we did save money in areas that I expected, there were just things that popped up. Like I think the basement had a moisture issue. that took money. We tried to save money and have a plumber lay tile. We did everything, all the no-nos, just flipping houses. We did just about all of them.
So where did y'all find these deals? You found them because he was a wholesaler?
So, So the first one in Waldorf, we found through another wholesaler. The one that we lost money on, that was an auction property.
Mm-hmm.
That we actually broke into to see it beforehand. And then the other one we found on the MLS.
Okay. Y'all living this renegade life. So tell people out there, if they don't know what wholesaling is, tell them what is wholesaling.
So wholesaling, I don't do too much wholesaling. That's actually not my forte, but wholesaling is pretty much when you do the marketing to find an off-market deal. It's mm-hmm. pretty much direct to seller, and you get that under contract, and you assign that contract to an end buyer,
mm-hmm.
incorporating an assignment fee for yourself. So in the end, all you're doing is you're pretty much doing the marketing. You're adding your fee and you're just selling that contract to someone who actually wants to either flip it or buy and hold with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me about the auction property. Which auction was it and how was that process?
So that auction, I don't typically buy from auctions. That auction property was years ago. I think it was one of the popular ones, of course, but mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of that auction that we did. I'm sure if I pull it up in my email, it's still there.
But how was the process? Because them auction, first of all, you bid on it, but then you got to have all that money like within a couple of days.
Oh yeah, so it was an online auction too, so it will show you like when someone bid above you. So we were just there like, all right, add an extra thousand. And then eventually
YOLO.
Auction was over and they were like, surprise, congratulations, you won the auction. And then you have to cough up a significant amount. You need to put down a good amount of money. It was a couple grand for sure. Mm. And then I believe you have to be able to close within a certain time period, because I think the longer you hold it, you accumulate interest.
Mm. Okay. So how did you step into the Baltimore market?
So how I stepped into Baltimore market at the time, pre-COVID, there were a lot of real estate investor meetups in Baltimore. And so I used to go to a lot of them. And so I would always connect with Baltimore investors.
Mm-hmm.
And I started realizing like, wow, like the pricing point is so low in Baltimore and the rents are so high. Like, how is that possible? It doesn't matter. I'm going to shoot for the moon.
Oh, here we go again.
And so I just thought, like, I was really impressed with the numbers in Baltimore at the time. And so I just connected with agents, wholesalers, everyone I could connect to, mm-hmm. until I found my first rental.
Okay. So how you did an actual rental, like a long-term rental? How was that process?
So my very first rental I got in 2019. And when I signed that contract, I had a panic attack. I had to sit because it was like my first one. I think I was a bit traumatized from, that was my first deal after the deal I did with my partner where we lost $30,000. Mm-hmm. And there was a probably like a 2-year, 3-year gap in between then.
Yeah, you had to get your mind right to jump back on that saddle.
So I had to, it took a, it, that one took me out a little bit, but it took a while to kind of like get back in the game. But because I think that one had me questioning, like, man, do I really want to, maybe I should just settle in on this 9 to 5. And every day I thought about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, shape, or form, for those past three years or so, I thought about it. Thought about real estate. It's something I couldn't get out of my head as mm-hmm. much as I tried to. And so, when I finally got the courage to like start again, that rental, I actually found on Craigslist.
Wow! Oh Lord,
found it on Craigslist. And I had nothing to lose, so I just negotiated the number. He agreed. I signed the contract. And mm-hmm. when I signed this contract, I am fresh out of a bankruptcy for 2019.
Mm.
This was the end of 2019. I had a little bit of money, but I'm pretty sure it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
My credit is shot to hell. And so I signed a contract. With again, nothing but a dollar and a dream. And I would not advise anyone do it that way without a plan, at least, because you know that could have went left for me. I could have wasted family who actually needed the help. I could have wasted their time. I could have wasted money. Like that could have went very left, but luckily it didn't. It went right. And that's when I raised my first, like my private money,
mm-hmm.
raised about $30,000 there. And I also partnered with someone to be the guarantor. Mm-hmm. And how I set it up was in a way where I control the deal. I'm still an owner, but I'm not using my credit or my cash.
Well, it sounds like, what did they say? Necessity breeds innovation. You were like, I'm gonna figure this out. So how did you, structure the private money? Like, where'd you find this person, first of all? How did you structure that? And then how did you find the guarantor?
So this person, I met them through like this personal development course I did called the Landmark Forum. And so we knew each other. I knew that he lent money to real estate or other investors that I knew of, but him and I never talked about it. And in fact, I called him. I remember when I first got the deal, I called him 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 out of the 5 times in the one weekend, he didn't tell me yes, but he didn't tell me no either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just calling in between, I was calling different people. Everybody was telling me no. I was getting discouraged. Remember, this is my first. I already had an anxiety attack signing the contract. I don't know where I'm going to get the money from, or like the hard money lender already told me he needed to see someone else's credit, but not mine. Mm-hmm. He'll still lend me the money for it, or because I was pairing private money with hard money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called this guy because, like I said, I didn't have any, well, I did have something to lose at the time. I had an earnest money deposit to lose, but I just kept calling him. And finally, at the 5th time, he told me, all right, let's do it. And eventually I asked him, like, why did you decide to do it? And he was like, you were just hungry. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say no to that.
Persistence.
Yeah, and so I've been rocking with him ever since. I cut him on that rental property. I cut him a check, and I pay myself every month still on that same property.
Nice. And what about the guarantor? Is that the same person?
Same person.
Okay.
This score was, it wasn't quite an 800, but it was close. So he got us some good rates too. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he's never seen that he's seen that property one time, and that was me like damn near forcing him to, because I thought it was weird that like, I thought it was uncomfortably weird that he would do all of this with me. And he wasn't really interested in, he doesn't do anything with the property. He just paid.
Well, that's what's up. Well, you running the show, running a tight ship. So then how did you get into doing Airbnb?
Okay, so Airbnb, I had a good buddy of mine who in Baltimore, who had like probably, he went from 2 Airbnbs to 4 to 6 to 8 and on up. And I always like saw him. Sometimes I'll like, there's been times I've went to see some of his properties, and I thought it was pretty cool, a pretty cool concept. It was something that I was curious about, but never really, I don't know. I was very focused on either rehabbing and buying holds. Mm-hmm. So as curious as I was about Airbnb, I just, it wasn't necessarily my primary focus. And then one day, and it's interesting enough, I was in Marshall's, the retail store, and I found the perfect nightstands. Like, wow, if I had an Airbnb, these nightstands would be perfect. There's no drawers. People can't leave shit behind in here. Mm-hmm. And excuse my language. And so I bought these nightstands, and I was just like, whenever I get this Airbnb, these gonna go in it. Mm-hmm. And probably 6 months later, opportunity presented itself where I had a good buddy of mine has a duplex in Federal Hill, which is right near the downtown harbor. Mm-hmm. And he called me freaking out one time because he was moving. He had to live in it for a couple months. He was moving, and right when he was moving, he found out his tenant downstairs in the one bedroom apartment was moving too. And so he called me freaking out, like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to have a loss of income. And I was like, whoa, 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 chill. This is opportunity here. Just like the rent was already below market. Mm-hmm. Raise the rent. That's an extra, I think I had him raise the rent by an extra $200 a month.
That's a lot.
Exactly. That's an extra $2,400 a year. You're mm-hmm. good. And he was like, oh, okay. And when we got off the phone, I had a thought. I was like, wait a minute. And so I called him back. I was like, how about you just rent it to me? You could, you know, process me the same way you would. I'll pay the same security deposit anyone else would. And he said yes.
Mm-hmm. So you did like a Airbnb arbitrage situation. Mm-hmm.
Yep, because I wasn't sure. I knew like Baltimore had certain like regulations. They're one of the places that require licensing for it. Mm-hmm. And again, I wasn't really certain about how it looked. I kind of like got a rough estimate of how the numbers work. The biggest thing was, I know my friend was doing it, mm-hmm. and he appeared to be very successful at it. So I thought, why not? Why can't I be successful in it? So, right. And it's been great. It's been pretty awesome.
All right. So you doing all these different types of strategies, and then you're in a kind of a new market in Baltimore. How are you finding all your contractors, the hard money lenders, all these people that, you know, you're working with for the first time?
Right. So one thing I realized in this business is networking and relationships is very, very important. I've met just about everyone I've worked with through my network. Mm-hmm. And I'm an introvert, so I have to challenge myself to go to these events and like actually step out of my box and talk to people and like be interested in people and curious about them. And also like something I realize is your integrity is your lucky charm. Mm-hmm. As people could always pick up, like when your integrity is on point, people just tend to trust you. A lot of the partnerships I've had, it's like always blew my mind how much they like trust me with these things. But I think it goes back to I do what I say I'll do. Mm-hmm. And if I can't, I'll communicate it.
Right.
Which is all people really look for in partnerships anyway. And so So yeah, I go to networking events, sometimes by word of mouth. I remember my very first contractor, I just was driving in Baltimore and I saw him working on a house and I like pulled over, got his number. He disappeared. I don't mean like in the middle of my project. He just one day I found something else and he just disappeared. I never saw him again. But yeah, just network. You'll find everyone you need through your network.
That's what's up. You got to get yourself and get out there. You can't be scared because real estate is a team sport.
For sure. I would definitely say that because between like managing the Airbnb, my rentals, which I self-manage, and even the rehabs, like your relationships with the people on your team are very important. Sometimes your contractors you need them to look out. I had a plumbing issue at one of my rentals yesterday and my plumber came and fixed it within 20 minutes. And I asked him, what's the damage? And he was like, don't worry about it. And so yeah, definitely relationships. Help build a team and the team will look out if you take care of them.
All right. That's a gem. So what are you seeing now in the Baltimore market? Like where's the our areas of opportunity?
So in Baltimore, I would say it was becoming harder to find good numbers in Baltimore where it once was like just like it's so simple just to find like good numbers in Baltimore. And then it started becoming challenging, kind of like the rest of the nation, to be honest. But there were some numbers that were popping out in certain areas of Baltimore. It's like, what? People are spending this in this neighborhood or these areas. But what I've realized since, or one thing that I've noticed since the interest rates started going up in Baltimore, I'm seeing like prices are beginning to get back to not all the way back to its previous normal or pre-COVID normal, but they're beginning to drop significantly. And so I think Baltimore is an opportunity central. I truly think that it's the next DC. I know you don't fight me on this one. I think opportunity, there's a lot of opportunity here. It's still opportunity here, even though prices are a lot higher than it was when I started in Baltimore. So yeah, if you want to get your first deal, I would highly advise like Baltimore all the way. The prices are still low enough. The rents are high. The values are going up.
No, I agree with you. I scoffed at that, but no, I agree because Washington, D.C. is pretty much like saturated. It's built out. One, Baltimore is a bigger city, so there's more opportunity. And it's, like you said, cheaper price point, higher rents. So it's a lot of people that I know from New York, from Philly, from other markets that want to invest in Baltimore. The thing is, though, is that it's very block by block specific. So you really got to be knowledgeable about, you know, the street that you're trying to invest in. What's the path to opportunity? Because if not, you can get burned real easily in Baltimore.
Right. For sure. The other thing is I see a lot of people. There's like this exodus of people moving to Baltimore. So I, just about 3 years ago, I was somebody who was like hardcore. I would never live in Baltimore. Like I'd invest there to all of a sudden I found myself moving to Baltimore. Originally it was because I don't like driving. And I was those 45 minute to an hour drives from PG County to Baltimore. And then like there were so many people messaging me with deals. And it's like, damn, I just went out there. Like I gotta go back out there. So it was just for me, it was a matter of just getting closer to my projects and my deals. But I love it here. I love it here. So
she says she loves it now.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's a charming little city. There's a lot of really interesting features, things here to do. But yeah, I think people are going to start to, from what I hear, DC is becoming a bit unaffordable. DC County as well.
That's an understatement.
And so people are, especially with everything, all the prices hitting the moon, I think people are seeing opportunity in Baltimore, not even just investing, but just to reduce their cost of living.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for you?
So next for me, I'm just going to keep building this empire, one brick at a time. I will say that it is kind of like a slow and steady wins the race kind of thing. Like when I first started, I expected it to go a lot faster. Like
watching HGTV, they got you.
I expect it to be rich like a year. And when you're investing in real estate, I know a lot of like gurus and everything, especially the people who have courses, they kind of like put on this facade. Like when you start investing, you probably like it'll move quickly. You just gotta make a decision, but you really got to condition your mind that this is a slow and steady race. Mm-hmm. It's not quick. It's not a get rich quick type thing, but it will guarantee you wealth if you stay in the game, if you're consistent,
mm-hmm.
if you don't quit. So yeah, you just condition your mind for that. The other big thing I would say is, you know, stay around the campfire, stay around people that are hot, that are warm, that they're in action just like you, because there's going to be times where you just want to throw in the towel, like, man, mm-hmm. get these houses. And sometimes it's going to take people in your circle to like pull you out of that.
Well, like your boy, you said you had, he's more experienced, but you had to talk him off a ledge of flipping out because his tenant was moving out.
Right. Yeah. Or even for me, like I had a tenant that didn't, she was in default about probably $8,000 earlier mm-hmm. this year. And I started questioning like, damn, do I really want to, you know, have moments where you question yourself mm-hmm. or question if it's really what you want. And I just spoke to a homegirl I have in Richmond. She's doing the same thing, just in a different market. And she gave me some words of advice that had me like it didn't just pull me out. It had me excited to keep pushing and like keep building.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one conversation. So I think don't try to do it all yourself. If you like me, like to do everything yourself. But yeah, just make sure you're intentional about staying around people who are warm, who are in action.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you got to keep a circle of people that's making things happen, that's building, so y'all can support each other.
Right.
So, all right. Well, this was an amazing conversation and I love it because it was real. It ain't pretty. It ain't all glamorous. It's real. So we're going to get to the last segment of the show, which is the Fabulous Four. Four questions I ask everybody. So first off, what's your favorite book about real estate?
So my favorite book is not necessarily about real estate. Can I do two? Because sure. I do have a real estate book.
Yes.
Just okay. So my favorite book, hands down, is The Dream Giver.
Mm.
And that book was such a game changer for me. First of all, I like story form type books, but that book helped me to see and realize and understand that when you are in pursuit of any goal or dream, you're going to stumble across all kinds of issues. In the book, it was like this monster called Moneyless that tried to like take him out, or like there were just all kinds of obstacles. And it just was like, in the end, he persevered. He stumbled, got bruised up, a little bloodied, but he kept going. And in the end, he realized his big dream. And he got it. And that book, again, like it conditioned my mindset to be prepared for what's ahead of me.
Mm.
Now, regarding real estate, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, I think is a great read for anyone who wants to get start investing in real estate. It'll kind of like show you what to expect, and prepare you for even which route you want to take. You may not want to be a buy and hold investor. Maybe you might want to be a rehabber. Maybe you might want to do note investing. There are so many niches in real estate, and you don't have to pick just one. You should probably focus on one at a time, but you don't have to pick one. So those are, I would say those two.
That's good. Yeah. I had somebody hit me up the other day and was like, I'm trying to learn more about your industry, how to make money. I was like, that's so open-ended. What does that mean? There's so many different things you could do.
Right.
All right. So the second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self just getting started out?
You know, the advice I would give to my younger self, I wish I had started sooner. Mm-hmm. I started when I was about 25 years old, but I think the biggest thing, if I could like talk to my younger self, I would just tell her, just believe in yourself. You got this. Like, just one foot in front of the other. You like, just believe in yourself. That's it. I wish I had, that's the only thing. I wish I had believed a lot sooner. That believed like, oh wow, like this young girl from the Caribbean could be wealthy like me. That's all I wish, that I had seen it sooner and believed sooner.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's half the battle, because the game plan is laid out. Once you learn the technical information, it's just like following the blueprint, but it's like you got to believe it's possible for you.
Exactly. And that's, I think that's the bridge for a lot of people. Like, you don't have to know it all to start. You don't have to go nuts like I did the first time either, but you don't have to know everything. But when you believe in yourself, you trust that you'll figure it out along the way.
Absolutely. All right. The third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
So I would want to know more about note investing. Mm-hmm. So at some point that might become one of my focuses, but I've heard some really cool stories about note investing, and that's something I would like to learn more about.
Yeah, it's a way to get some similar returns without having to deal with swinging hammers and dealing with tenants.
Exactly.
All right. So last question is, can you give a shout out to another woman in real estate?
Yeah. I would say my shout out will probably go to, let me pick one. Probably Atiyah Blair. Okay. I did a course with her in 2019 before I got my first rental. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I had some experience in real estate previously, but I was all over the place. And I think when I did her course, it kind of connected the dots for me. But more so, she became someone, like, I connected with her outside the course as well. Mm-hmm. And I felt like she kind of, like, I borrowed her belief in me. Because remember, I was still a little doubtful from the deal I did where I lost money. Mm-hmm. And so she, like, did what a mentor does. I feel like she, like, viewed me so, like, highly. And she always, like, shouts me out. For like some of the deals I did, she encouraged me. She even like brought me into her own personal home with her family. And that really meant a lot to me. And it was great encouragement for the journey I was about to go on. So, and then not only that, but she's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And she was the other thing, it was so cool to be able to see another Black woman. Mm-hmm. Like, just like her, another Black woman with ambition and drive that also has the love as well. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there was a point where I thought I could be ambitious and successful, or I could have a loving relationship, but I probably can't have both. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of showed me that I could have it all. And so just seeing her or like people like that go before me is what helps other people who haven't seen people like us, Black women, like excelling in certain fields. It's people like that that really causes the culture to progress.
Mm. Love it. Yeah, she is the real deal. She's killing it. So that's a hell of a mentor to have. All right. So how can people get in touch with you if they want a partner, they want to just pick your brain, they want to, you know, find out more about what's going on with you?
So you can find me on Instagram, Shebby Limitless. If you have any questions, book a consult. If you have any deals, slide in the DM where you include the numbers. so I could, you know, make sure it's something worth looking at. But you can find me on Instagram. It's probably the best.
All right. Any last words of wisdom for the listeners?
Last words of wisdom is, just focus on relationship building. Become curious of others. Take care of your people, especially the people on your team. And make sure you're investing the most into yourself, whether it's like reading, conferences, because your mind is going to need to be sharp. Your mindset is going to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Mindset and relationships will get you there.
Love it. Oh, love that advice. All right. Well, this was an amazing conversation. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Shavir, for coming on the show, spending time with us, giving us the real deal. So I appreciate you. Again, this is another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast, and we'll see y'all on the next one.